7th, 2023. I am Salable System, and this is My Turn to Talk. Hey, Blood Ninja, welcome, girl. You're number one today. Shelby Shep, welcome back. Number two, and Brina, number three. I hope you all are doing well. And to everyone, whatever platform you are listening or listening to the recording, thank you. Very much appreciated, as always. Okay, welcome, guys. Okay, so this is a topic that we touched on sort of, kind of, and I said I was going to do it, so it's been a couple of months, so I said I'm going to do it. Me Too and men. And I'm not talking Me Too and the Bill Cosbys and the Weinsteins and so forth. I'm talking about Me Too and men who are raped. And how sexual assault affects men, and why isn't male sexual assault talked about more in society? And, you know, I am going to go to talking about women for a moment. You know, when women don't report, you know, they get hassled, you know, well, why didn't she say something? Why did it take her so long? But do men not report? Is it because we assume men cannot be raped that we don't talk about it? Or is it the fact that men underreport more so than women, so therefore it's not talked about, and women already feel a sense of shame? Do men feel it more so? And is it fair to say that men who are raped have more shame or more embarrassment because they are men, or should we just say rape is rape? I personally think rape is rape, whether, you know, man, woman, young girl, young boy. You know, how should society look at it, and do the laws apply to men the same way that they do to a woman? If a man were to walk into a police station and say that he was just raped, would the officers look at him like he was crazy? Would they kind of laugh? Would they make a joke? I'm pretty sure there would be some type of joke there. But for women, when women walk in, you know, one thing I think that first thing that people do when women walk in, especially if they walk in right after an assault, I personally think that one of the first things that men do, is look at what they have on. So are men assault or rape victims, are they treated the same way? Are they treated better? Are they treated worse? So those are my questions. And Brina says, rape is rape. It doesn't matter. Blunt says, I feel they wouldn't take it seriously. So if your son, and I know I'm talking to mostly women here, Lou, you're the only guy, you know, but if your son came home, and I'm going to say he was 15, 16, came home and said that he was raped, would a mom take it more seriously than the father? Would the father look at it as, number one, how could you allow someone to do that to you? Or you're a man, or are you gay? Would it be some type of put down as opposed to support? And would the mother be more willing to take it seriously because they are mothers? You know, but then again, on the flip side, if your daughter came home and she said she was raped, I'm looking at Lou, says that he's killing someone. Lou, I'm right there with you. I am right there with you. But does a man see his daughter differently than he would see his son? Does the daughter then become a victim more so than the son, mainly because of gender? Humble Dog, welcome. Welcome. And Shorty says she's killing somebody too. Okay. And Lou says, I don't have daughters, but definitely same outcome. So again, you know, why do female teachers rape their students? I mean, we had the teacher who was in the news probably for about 15 years. She just recently passed from cancer. Her last name started with an L, Latrobe, whatever. And, you know, she ended up getting pregnant by her 14-year-old student. His mom took care of the baby while she went to jail. She got out. She divorced her husband while she was in jail, got out, married the young man who was in like 20 something, and had another baby with him. Is that normal? And what I mean by normal is, did this boy at the age of 14, was he a victim of, I'm trying to put this in a way where I don't insult anyone or I make anyone mad, because I am going to talk about abortion for a moment. But she had this baby, and the little boy, or he's not a little boy anymore, but the boy's mother decided to take care of this child. Was this something that the boy wanted? Did he have a say-so? When you're that young and something like that happens to you, do the adults automatically take over and say, well, you're going to have this baby, we're going to take care of it, and you as a child have nothing to say? I'm trying to get someplace, y'all. I know I'm just not saying it right. Lou says, I despise rapists extremely. You know, so, I mean, what what do you do? I mean, was that boy a victim at that point also? Because now he has this baby, even though his mother is taking care of it and he's 14 years old, there's this baby here. So do you, I mean, do you tell, and then you have this child, do you tell this child, and I know I'm going into a different direction here, but I am getting back to the topic. Do you tell this child, you know, where's mommy? Mommy's in jail. Why is she in jail? Well, she raped me and she got pregnant with you and grandma is taking care, of you. I mean, that whole dynamic just to start, it's just messed up. It's truly messed up. So again, when men are victims or boys are victims of rape and sexual assault, are they looked at differently? Are they treated differently? Okay, Shelby says at 14, yes. When older, no. Brina says, I feel like he was a victim in a way in terms of conditioning, but as far as the baby, personally, I'm glad there wasn't an abortion. I can see how it's way more than a teenager can wrap their head around, though. So, Brina, what do you tell this child? Do you lie to this child and say, mom's away at the in-laws' house for the next 7 years? I mean, at some point, do you tell the child, whether they're younger or older, when they're 50, do you tell the child how they were conceived? You know, and then they had another, they got married and they had another child. And I understand what you're saying about the whole abortion thing, but does that mess with you? And at some point, does it go back, even though the boy is older now, is it messing with him at some point? And is society more accepting with an adult female molesting a boy as opposed to an adult male molesting a boy? I mean, I think rape is rape, but are you looking at this teacher who is molesting this boy different from a priest or from your next door neighbor who's always been creepy? I mean, or your uncle, you know, is it different? Does society see it different? You know, and why is it that when you do hear of priests molesting boys and the whole Penn State thing and all that scandal, whatever, you know, going back years, and older men who are adults came forward saying, yes, this happened to me. Do we accept it more in a situation like that than if your son were over his best friend's house and the best friend's brother assaulted your son? Lou says, super traumatizing. Shelby says, yes, they are treated different. Brina says, no, I wouldn't lie to the child in their early years. I would keep the truth limited, though. I just think every life is a blessing regardless. I feel bad for the kids, truth, but that potential embarrassment is temporary. But Brina, is it? Is it a temporary? I mean, is it a temporary thing? Do you just assume? How do you know that people don't bring that trauma into adulthood? You know, I've never had that happen to me, but I have talked to people. I have friends that it has happened to, and they still think they still carry it with them. So who's to say that the embarrassment is temporary? And even with therapy, who's to say that that embarrassment or that shame does not go away? People can hide it, but does it ever truly go away? That kid who was walking down, you know, down the hall in school, and you know, somebody gave him a wedgie in the locker room, you know, the class before, and everyone knew. You know, do you think about that when you go to your class reunion 20 years later and you see that guy and somebody's going to bring it up? Yeah, remember when, you know, Johnny was in? Yeah, ha, ha, ha. I mean, and you may laugh it off, but who's to say that you're not pissed? Who's to say that's not a trigger for Johnny to go and get that gun 20 years later to go and shoot the person that did it? So are we as a society doing men an injustice or males an injustice by not taking sexual assault seriously or more seriously when it happens to them? And Shorty says, right. You know, are we not doing them? Are we not doing right by them by not taking it seriously? Is it wrong for a man to tell his son, you know, why did you let that happen to you? You're supposed to be a man. Don't cry, or don't worry about him. He'll be fine. Are they really? And Shorty says, no, that's not right. You know, and you have some cultures. You have some cultures who, if there's sexual assault, whether male or female, they don't want to talk about it at all. It's like, if we don't talk about it, it never happened. You know, like they say, out of sight, out of mind. Meanwhile, you know, your kid is acting up, or, you know, something happens to your wife and, you know, all of a sudden she's staying out late and, you know, she's doing all kinds of things, or something happened to your husband. He's starting to do stuff that he's not supposed to be doing, because everybody thinks that everybody's fine. And Blunt says, no, they will never be fine. Blunt, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. You know, I think that walking, you know, when you're walking down the street, and yes, guys, this did happen to me, and I was embarrassed, and I got over it. I'm walking down the street, and I'm talking to one of my friends. I wasn't paying attention. I was probably about 18, 19 years old. I wasn't paying attention. I had my head down. I walked right into a pole, and it was on a busy street, and people were stopped at the stoplight, and my girlfriend started laughing, and people in the car were like cracking up. That's an embarrassment that you get over. I mean, I'm not thinking about going to kill anybody, anything, because I ran into a pole. But when you talk about, you know, serious things, you know, I think that even, I don't think it's right for us to assume that people get over things because you don't want to talk about it, or because, you know, that's something we don't need to talk about. This, and, you know, in this family, you know, we don't do that. And I feel bad for people who live in situations like that, because sometimes somebody really wants to talk, and the only person they can talk to is someone in their family, and they see that there's nowhere that they can't turn to their family. So sometimes they turn to the wrong people outside of the family. Yeah, Barina. Yeah, Blunt, I did bump run right into that pole. Oh, Lucia, who put that there? You know, so I don't know, guys. I mean, you all think I'm off base. Do you think that I'm right? You think I'm half right? You think I'm, I mean, I don't know, you know, but they say that, let me get this, the stats here again. They said 14% of reported rapes involve men are boys, men or boys, and 1 in 6 reported is against a boy, and 1 in 25 is against an older male. So someone over the age of 18. You know, and they say that, you know, men, they experience shame, grief, anger, and fear. And they also say that, I'm not sure this is true or not, but I can kind of see it, and mainly because of the fact that you're a man, you're supposed to be a man, that they start to wonder if, well, am I gay? You know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being gay, but they start to, a man will question their gender identity more so than a man would. Fair use. Welcome. You know, so I ran into a door facing. Oh boy. So I don't know. I just think that men and sexual assault, on one hand, I think they're treated worse, but then sometimes when I think about it, sometimes I think women are treated worse. So again, I say, if a man were to walk into a police station and say he was sexually assaulted, is the police officer immediately going to look at what he had on? If that, you know, if that case goes to trial, is the lawyer for the defendant going to start questioning the man? Well, you had these pants on, or this suit you had on was kind of provocative, as opposed to a woman when, you know, she's on the stand. It's like, well, did you have to wear that skirt? Or, you know, you were wearing those high heels. I mean, on that sense, I think that there's a discrepancy leaning more towards the man's favor as opposed to the woman's favor. And Blunt says, no, they only look at a woman's clothing. That I absolutely 100% believe. And Lou says, yeah, women are treated horribly in court, like it's their fault. So, you guys remember that movie that came out years ago? It was years ago with Demi Moore. And I think it was against Michael. I cannot remember this man's name. Michael, Douglas. Yes. Yes. Fair use. Yes. 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 Where she was the boss and she sexually assaulted him, you know, and, you know, and she was threatening him, you know, throughout the entire movie, da, 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 you know, whatever. But, you know, when you get into situations like that, if you're at work, is it different from your female boss making these sexual innuendos and patting you on your butt and, you know, hey, chill, welcome, you know, patting you on your butt and, you know, making these lewd remarks, as opposed to, is any different from a male boss who's doing that to a female? You know, is there any difference? If you were to go to HR, is HR going to look at the male differently? Is it going, you know, are they going to take the male, his accusations, are they going to be more serious with him than they would if a female came in and said that my boss, you know, is doing things and saying things that he shouldn't and touching me and, you know, rubbing up against me, whatever, as opposed to if the female boss was, you know, does a man have more to lose if their female boss is doing this? And when I say more to lose, I mean, no one is going to take them that no one is going to look at what is being done to him on a serious side. Whereas with the female, you're going to have everybody, oh, you know, girl, you need to go in. Girl, I go to HR in a minute. But at the same time, is that male going to say something to his coworkers? Is he, I mean, does he have more to lose? If he says something, and it's not taken on a serious level, does that female boss, is she going to ramp up what she's doing, but making his job worse or harder, where when he comes to work every day, he's dreading it? I'm, like I said, y'all, I'm trying to make sense here. Rena says, I forgot about them. Yes, yes. That was a good movie. I think most of society assumes men like that behavior. I guess women can be, yeah, women can be creepy. Like the movie Horrible Bosses. Yes, a man is looked at as weak if they report harassment. Absolutely. So, I mean, and again, why is that? Is that because a man's supposed to be a man? And the men who raise their sons like that, or you're in the environment, let's say you're, I've never been in the military. I'm just throwing this out here. Let's say you're in the military and you get sexually assaulted either by a female or by your commanding officer or by another person, you know, one of your own peers. Are you not going to report because that, you know, all those men on that base, oh, come on, oh, yeah, you know, and then they're going to start, you know, making fun of you or whatever, so you just never say anything. And then you get out of the service, and this is what happened to you. And then you take it home, and you may start mistreating your wife or your girlfriend or, you know, you mistreat your parents. I mean, I don't know. Is it because of the way men are told that they're supposed to be a man? Let's see. Okay, it was actually based on a book, Disclosure. I'll be at my library. It was a good, it was a good movie. That was a good movie. Humble dog and have the ability to protect themselves. You know, so, I mean, you know, like I said, when Steven Stainer was abducted way back when, back in the 70s, and he finally got away and took another boy that his kidnapper had taken. And he got away before that other little boy could be assaulted the way Steven Stainer was. When he got home, one of the first things he said that his father said to him was, how could you allow that to happen? How could you let a man do that to you? And again, he was seven. He was 7 years old. But at the same time, do you tell that to your 15-year-old son? Do you tell that to your 21-year-old son? How can you allow a man to do that to you? If it was a woman, would it have been different? Would the reaction have been different when a female rapes a student in school? Are you telling your son, how could you allow that woman to do that to you? You know, I think on some level, both boys and girls are raised with their own, and the only way I can say it is just say their own mind fuck. I think our parents have, on some level, have taught us to think a certain way, which we carry into adulthood. But I think when it comes to gender and when it comes to things like sex, it's like on the one hand, oh yeah, you know, guys are saying, yeah, did you hit that? Yeah, yeah, you know, she was this. Yeah, I was with her last night. And on one hand, you're bragging about your conquests. But then on the other hand, if a male is the conquest against his will, it's not funny anymore. It's not funny anymore. So there's a hypocrisy, see there. On the one hand, we're telling our sons to behave like this, and yeah, girls, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, and then for girls, you're saying, oh no, you know, don't do that. If you do that, then they'll think that you're a slut or whatever. And men will tend to label girls as such, whether or not the label is fitting or not, because men can also be sluts, you know, but with women, that slut title stays with them usually for a long time, unless they move, you know, out of the area, where men are considered players. Does that have anything to do with why sexual assault is not stigma for men is different than women? Y'all are real quiet. It's a quiet group today. Nobody wants to pop up on the panel. Let's see. That's terrible. How could you? But okay. Brina says that's terrible. How could your own blood shame you like that? Brina, I think that in families that there's more shaming within the family than outside. I think that if people, yes, you know, public opinion, whatever, and, you know, people are going to say something, but I think, you know, I can ignore. Okay, I'm just going to speak for myself. To me, it's easier for me to ignore the person on TV, or if I were to go to school or go to work and someone's making some comment or they're making fun, whatever, as opposed to me coming home and have to hear it from my own family. And I think that your own blood shames you more. I do. You know, not just in situations like this, but I think families as a whole are harder on each other than the people outside the door. And Humble Dog says that's how men are treated with assault. But again, that's just me. You know, so why do we do that? Why does society treat genders differently? Let's see, hold on for a second. I had a little back thing there. Make a sound adjustment. Can you guys hear me? Okay, good. Okay. So, I mean, why does society do that? You know, there's another case that I just found out about yesterday, which I think is absolutely ridiculous. And this is about Michael Jackson. There is a young man, Well, actually, he's an adult. Wade Robson is his name. Hold on, let me just get the right part. Is suing Michael Jackson's company, MJJ Productions, because of allegations that in 2005, when Michael was on trial for molesting another boy, Robeson testified that he slept in Michael's bed with the singer, but nothing happened. He changed his story in 2013, filing a lawsuit against the company. He said he had testified falsely on behalf of Jackson due to complete brainwashing. Okay, so he changed his story in 2013. Michael Jackson died in 2009. So he's been gone almost 25 years. I'm sorry, almost 15 years. And Wade Robeson and his attorney says a sexual abuser's passing does not deprive his victims of their day in court and in turn, justice and healing. They said Michael Jackson is not sued personally, but his company is. And his company will have every opportunity to defend itself in trial. So my question is this. If you're not suing your abuser personally, and your abuser is dead, suppose it, the alleged person who hurt you is dead, and you're saying that his company will have every opportunity to defend itself. The way I see it is the company did not molest this boy. And the problem that I have with this, when I first heard about it, I said, shame on California for allowing this to go forward, is the person who you're accusing is not able to defend himself. So how can your company defend itself? To me, it just doesn't make any sense. Especially, again, you said this in 2005. Okay, you said you were brainwashed. Your supposed abuser dies in 2009. You change your story in 2013. Do you change your story after, when Michael Jackson was alive? He was pretty much bankrupt. He was having a lot of financial issues. He owed everybody. He dies. Now his estate is worth millions upon millions upon millions. Some people are estimating that when it's all said and done, his estate will be well over billions, which I think is true. So do you then change your story because you're like, well, wait, MJJ, now they got some money. So let's sue the company instead of the person who supposedly molested you. Chill, welcome.
Hey, what's up, everybody? That whole idea right there is asinine. That Michael Jackson stuff, that's laughable. They're gonna probably laugh them people out of court. They're probably just trying to look for a settlement type deal. Just cause it's probably what it is. It ain't gonna, that's impossible. I mean, you can sue any kind of company though. Companies are not outside of the realm to act.
Okay, but chill. How are you? Okay, so but they're saying that they're not suing Michael on a personal level, but they're suing the company. How does the company defend itself against sexual molestation if the person who is accused is not there to defend himself?
Yeah, that would be the argument in court.
I mean, because
simple argument. It's not even a hard argument. It's just laughable, really. And you're right. It's silly that they would let this fiasco go on, but you can't stop somebody from legally suing somebody or appealing. And, you know, you can't stop them from doing that. So you got to go through the progressions. It's not really the actual system. It's the people who are doing it, which is that is ridiculous. But I don't want to make light of it because we don't necessarily know what happened. But one thing you said, Michael Jackson was never broke. He said out of his mouth. You know, he might appear to be going through some financial issues, but I never forget it when he's like, "No, I ain't broke." And he was on an interview. He just went into his warehouse and said, "You know, I'm never broke. Like, look at all this." He just like had like old.
It wasn't just the fact that he just hadn't sold that stuff yet to pay off his debts. Right. So but either way, because when he could not pay the mortgage at his house, which recently got sold, I think about three years ago, whatever. So if you're not that broke, I'm sorry. First thing I'm, and this is just me. First thing I'm paying is my mortgage. Okay. I'm going to make sure that I may not be able to drive that Bentley, but I'm going to have a roof over my head, even though there's no lights on and no water, I'm still going to have a roof over my head.
But that's one of his houses, one of his estates of many, and one of his like warehouses of many. So and plus, like, just because you don't pay your bills, that don't mean you broke.
True,
you
know what I'm saying? Getting away from the whole broke thing, I think that they are looking that, you know, they saw that when it started to come out how much his estate was making and whatever, then it was like, actually, mm-hmm. He brainwashed me.
Yep. That's exactly what's happening. Or people, some of our people just, you know, getting a bind.
So, okay, Chill. So let me ask this then. Do you think that if a female accused Michael of assaulting her, they would look at it differently than a boy?
A little boy? Nah, a little boy. That's a little. That's the worst of the worst. A little boy. Yeah.
So you think that they would not look at it as bad if it was a little girl as opposed to a little boy? That's my question.
It's bad, right? For sure, it's bad either way. Like, oh yeah, well then a little girl. Yeah, of course, a little girl. They would look at it worse because they would, period. People would. Even people who are so, like, gender neutral and forward. No matter what, like, it's always that one thing that show you that, no, you're not so gender non-traditional or gender forward as you thought. Because, yes, a little girl, a little boy, it's just two different things.
Do you think there should be a statute of limitations in terms of?
It's horrible, though. Make no mistake.
Absolutely. Either way, I'm ready to kill. Whether it's my daughter, my son, my dog, you know, my mother, my father. I'm ready to yes. But do you think that? There should be a statute of limitations on reporting a sexual assault.
I think there is in certain states and areas, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know that. That's a okay. Good question. It's a fair question, but a heinous act in such as that, I don't know enough about the psychology of people who get abused or, you know, great.
Okay, so let me, and I know you said you don't know. You'll probably say I don't know on this one. Also, do you think that there should be leeway, that there should be more leeway if it was a child, and say that's, you know, like this boy, this Wade guy, whatever, he's now an adult. That if you don't report in, say, 2005, but you come forward in 2020 because it happened to you when you were a child. And I just didn't know, and I was scared, whatever, that it's different from when a child says that they were scared and they didn't want to come forward, as opposed to an adult saying they were scared and they didn't want to come forward, or whatever reason the adult didn't come forward.
Yes, there's a difference from a kid doing it to a grown-up doing it, for sure. And another thing is that this is one thing that is very sensitive, because women in general, I wanted to make the women versus men thing, and that's not what I'm doing. I'm just thinking about how many women that I've even met that always say they've been abused or they've been hurt, or and they don't ever report it. And then you start asking them more questions, like, so what did he do? And I don't know, like I said, a lot of the psychology of it, I don't know. Do they forget, or they try to put it in the back of their minds? But I do know that that's loosely put out there. So they don't think that, like, that's hurting somebody. When you say you were abused or raped, or you need to go to the police, because at some point I may know you, and I might know your dating history. So you telling me that one of these guys did something to you? You know what I'm saying? So and if I know the guy, he's not there to defend himself either. So, you know, are you just mad at him, or are you just saying, well, no? And then it gets into the point where I start asking questions. Well, I was just not physically. It was just mental. And then, like, well, you need to pick how you say. I know it was
good. Okay, then chill. You bring up a good point. Then are you saying that a prostitute who was raped, that, well, you've been out on the streets for the last, you know, five years, just selling it. So you're not going to take her on a serious level because of what she does for a living?
I'm talking about, I'm not going to take you on a serious level if you haven't reported it. I don't care when it happened. Are you calling right now to do something about it or not? You know what I'm saying? Because now that you throwing somebody, that is a serious accusation to somebody that you've possibly that you dated, whether it's real or not, I'm not here to debate. That's a horrible thing, but I do know there's a lot of women that do that, and then you learn that it's not even, it's abuse is a wide term. So you start learning that, oh, it's not even, it wasn't even physical. It was, oh, he just didn't, he was arrogant, and then here comes the narcissism. Every man I just dated, it's like almost in droves. I can just tell you the bit that's about to go down. He was abusive, he was narcissistic, and there's no accountability at all in that. And then they won't say that, and you're trying to make it like it's my fault. You're grown up. You are a grown up to some degree. You know, if he wasn't physically, and if he was doing it, you was in that relationship for 2-3 years. Oh, well, that's just Stockholm syndrome. Like, no, listen, it's gotta be a line to where you say, yes, me personally, I have to say, I pick me, or I pick my children.
But is it okay?
I don't know.
I'm just gonna look. Okay, because I keep saying okay. Blunt says there should not be a stat. There should not be a statute of limitations on sexual assault. Sometimes it takes decades to work up the courage to face it. And then Fairview says, sounds like a get out of jail free card to me. Okay, and everyone else is liking the show. Thank you. So, Chill, so if someone is sexually abused, whether it's by some guy on the street, you know, on a Thursday night when you're coming home from work or coming home from a party, whatever, or if you've been dealing with this in a relationship for the last three years, whatever, who's to say that that person hasn't threatened them and said, you know, if you do this, you know, I'll kill you. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people don't come forward.
I'm not saying that's not the average or the normal. Cause like, I don't know the statistics, or I'm not there, period. So this is not a judgmental stance, but I do think in some cases when people put that stuff out there, and it's not really that, you're not understanding the damaging nature of what.
I agree 100%. I think if you are going to accuse someone of assault and it was not, you know, you assaulted me, you know, be very clear that no, you did not rape me, but you know, I'm walking down the street, you knocked me upside the head and took my purse. You know, there's a difference. Yes, I totally, yes, absolutely.
I do know the vindictive nature of people in general. And when they get, when they, or a guy might cheat on them or vice versa, women, they want to hurt this person. They want to think of this person in a bad light, but they don't want to think about the bad stuff they've done. So when it gets into stuff like that, it's so sketchy. So now how do we prove that? Now you should be able to sue them 30 years later. Like, how?
Okay.
Statute, but it's that's you know, who knows? Who knows the right answer to that? Because okay, that's a serious thing.
So when you say sue, I'm just trying to be clear. When you say sue, do you mean like what this guy is doing with Michael Jackson? You know, he's suing for money, as opposed to, would it be different than?
That's a civil case, right? That's a civil
case. Right. But you're still talking about a criminal act. But is it a difference to you in being sued as opposed to going to jail? Like with Bill Cosby, he went to jail. With Weinstein, he went to jail. So is there a difference to you as opposed to someone? I mean, again, 30 years later, you know, maybe. So
that's my situational, right? And that's what the court is for. That's exactly why we have a court system for these type of things we're speaking about, and which is perfectly fine. If you can, but the thing is when there's things like that's a hard thing to prove.
It is.
That's why it's so important. That's we have to teach ourselves, our kids, the when you're going through that, the mental health of it, and to try to fight it as soon as we can, if we can, because it's no timeline, right? You can't make somebody or you know, revisit. Sometimes it's just like, why would I want to revisit that? But it's also like, is $3 million going to fix whatever you're going through? What's your result? What's your end game? Are you looking
for is it just
the money you need?
So if when I say your, I'm not talking about you personally.
Yeah, I got you.
If your son or daughter were assaulted, and they did not tell you right away, but either you found out later on down the road, or they told you later on down the road because you knew that they were off, something's going on with them, and they finally broke down and told you. Let's say they told you maybe 6 months later. Are you going to push them? And I'm using the word push, to go to the police and report it, and they keep saying no, they don't want to. What do you do when that person is reluctant? I mean, they were reluctant to tell you, so they're now reluctant to go and report it. What do you do? And then maybe one day you all are talking over, you know, after Thanksgiving dinner, and you know, and they finally say, you know what, what happened to me back in, you know, 1990, whatever, you know, I need to say something. Now it's 2020. Are you looking at them like they're crazy? Or maybe it took them that long to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I say I can't. That's a horrific event. There's no timeline on getting over or being able to speak about anything and having the courage to do that. But if no one's physically threatening you, like and it's still just overcoming yourself, right? It may have to be something like, all right, well, we got to have to figure out, as far as criminally, like we may not be able to charge this person unless, well, in Bill Cosby case, he was a very powerful, or R. Kelly case, they were very powerful people with a lot of money that can maybe mess up a career or threaten your life. If that's the case, of course. I mean, why would you come forward? That's crazy. So in that right, it may not be no statute. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I guess you can't have one in that right. But still, like as far as like civilly, I definitely don't think there's no statute. You know what I'm saying? Because especially a man to admit he was sexually abused or assaulted, and you know, sometimes that's laughable, and he may be embarrassed by that. You know what I mean? So yeah,
before you came on, that's what I was talking about when it comes to men, that men would be laughed at. It's like, you know, if he walked into the station telling a whole bunch of cops that he just got assaulted, they would probably laugh at him. Yeah, you know, and then if he told his family, whatever, you know, is his father going to say, oh, you know, come on, you know, how could you let that happen? I mean, it's like, again, it's the stereotype that men are supposed to be a certain way and women, you know, you don't have to be this way because, you know, I mean, it's that gender thing. But then again, women also suffer from the gender thing, you know.
We have our biases and virtues on each
side. Yes, we do. You know, so should rape and sexual assault be fair across the board? I mean, I think put it like this. I think in legally, it technically is, but because we're human, the way that the judge who's sitting, you know, presiding over that trial or that jury, whoever you are, we are human. So our own views are going to come out. Like if I'm sitting on a jury trial and I'm looking at this man, am I going to be that person who's going to say, well, you know, you're the 6 foot man, you know, you're 250 pounds. You're going to tell me that you got raped. I mean, that's not fair, but he really did get raped.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, especially if you know that a woman, especially like one of the things how that can happen is that she's a woman, and if she's vindictive, if she knows she can manipulate, I don't know, I got a powerful brother, uncle, cousin. If you don't, you know, do whatever I say right now, it's just gonna, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, like if or the same master got a wife, you know, hey, I just tell her you tried to do something to me while I was back here. So he's always that. That's a rape. That's technically rape. And you have sex with, that's being forced to do it. Act that you don't want to do. So things like that happen all the time with men. But men, we bottle things and handle things differently. But man, that's it should be looked at as fair, but that's just how it is. Like things like being groped. Like men, women do that, they do it to this day. Women just come up to a man and grab him in the crotch or slap him in the ass or, you know,
right. And this is and again, before you came on, we were talking about that too, you know, about, you know, again, is it different from your female boss slapping you on the butt and your male boss doing it? You know, if you're a man, it's like you don't want your female boss, you know, doing that to you. But if you go report to HR, is HR going to look at you differently because you're a male as opposed to a female going to HR? Yeah. You know, so
first of all, let's just get it out of the way. Most dudes are, if that happens, and that's their boss, and then 10, 9 times. Well, I'm gonna say 7 times out of 10. Especially if she's hot, 10 times out of 10, he's going ahead and going with it.
But what you just said was. I mean, but look at what you just said. If she's hot,
yeah. Now if she ain't, then that's
so. I mean, no, but I'm just saying. So I mean, but listen to what you just said. If she's hot, then it's gonna pass.
But that means it's unwanted.
Well,
so that changes the situation. That makes it not unwanted. So the unwanted behavior is what we were talking, speaking about, right? So
okay, whether they're hot or not. Okay, but whether it's wanted. Okay, right. But whether it's wanted or not, it's behavior that never should happen in that particular situation you're in. And
no, not necessarily. Yeah, yeah. No, it's okay. It's okay for me to flirt with somebody that wants to be flirted with in a
Well, because I mean, if you're at work and I'm the boss and I'm slapping you on your butt, whatever, no, that is not appropriate. That is not appropriate behavior.
But if I'm in the office, me and you, and
if it's not appropriate behavior at work, whether it is between the two of you all or not. Because this is the problem that you're
This is what I'm trying to clarify though, Silent, because it's different settings. I'm not, maybe in the corporate setting is a little bit more awkward, but say I'm on a construction site or I'm in a bar setting or certain settings, stuff like that goes on and it's okay with them all the time. Like
this is what I'm saying. If you're at a bar or something, that's one thing. I'm saying you are in the workplace.
Right. It's a workplace.
You are in the workplace. Even if you all are working late at night and it's just that you all are still in the workplace.
Right. So, so if me and you, if that culture is that me and you have that type of relationship and I'm okay with it, I don't mind. So it doesn't make it
over. But see, that's where I think that there's an issue, because let's say I give you your review and you didn't get the raise that you wanted, or I said, you could have done better on this, whatever. So I'm grading you down on this, and you get pissed. Then all of a sudden, it's like, yeah, well, she did this to me at the workplace.
Well, okay, so let me explain.
Chill. You're right. I am just saying this. If y'all want to do hanky panky outside of the workplace, but at the workplace, no, it's not an appropriate thing to do.
I'm just saying, if it's amongst ourselves, number one.
I understand that. But what if somebody sees that? You know, I mean, I'm just saying that when you do stuff at work, it causes problems, because if somebody sees it and then something happens to somebody else and you go to court or whatever, then somebody can say, well, there's a culture here. Well, yeah, well, you know, Jill's fooling around, you know, with so-and-so, and Silas fooling around with so-and-so, whatever. It's a problem. That's why I say keep it away from work.
That only matters, though, if you have a union or something like that. But if it's just a regular...
No, sorry.
I'm telling you, this is what I said. You can't get away with that if they got as a corporate setting, maybe. But like a lot of times you go to HR, they're gonna fire your ass before you can be. You know how many times people go to HR and
I worked at a telecom place where there was so much stuff going on that every time you turn around, somebody was in HR and somebody was getting sued, you know, whatever. And it's like, you know, those are just things that you. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying that you're adding to the whole Me Too, whether it's men or women.
I get that. So, it's safe not to be that way, but I'm saying you can't, if that's our dynamic of our relationship, and as long as it ain't offensive to nobody else and is acceptable in that culture, then that's what their culture is. You can't tell them, hey, your culture is wrong here. So for me,
Yes, you most certainly can. Yes, you can say that this is not appropriate for this culture. No, it is wrong. It is wrong.
But if it's my culture and everybody's accepting it, who's going to fight?
Okay, when you say are you saying because you're the boss
we're not doing nothing illegal necessarily. You know what I mean? If it's illegal, for sure. But it's not necessarily illegal to say, hey, nice, or where your kid get pat on the butt by the coach, get in the game, or a nice play. I don't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So Will, if you have a kid who is playing football, whatever, and the coach pats him on the butt, and he says that he doesn't like that. You know, whatever.
No, I'm saying, no, it ain't got to be like that. Like, good play. Like, that happens all the time. So you're going to go sue
him? I'm not saying that, Will. What I'm saying is, if someone says they don't like it, whether it's the culture do you stop doing it to that person?
Of course. Okay. But I'm saying some things that could be but my point is that it's a culture of it. And if that is acceptable, you can't say it's just not acceptable around the board. Of course, I say wanted or unwanted. So if it's unwanted, it's unwanted, and that makes it not acceptable. You could be complimenting them, and they don't like it.
I totally get that.
That's acceptable in every culture. To say, hey, good morning, you look nice today. That's acceptable on any angle, unless I don't like it.
I totally get that. I said something on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I think, Jill, you were probably on the show. I know Shorty was on the show. I can't remember who else was on the show when I even said, I don't care who don't, you know, I mean, I'm the type of person who don't touch me in public. You know, I don't want you feeling on my button, you know, whatever, you know, my husband, whatever. I personally don't like that. So just because everybody else is around filling on their boyfriends or girlfriends or husbands or wives, that's fine. Don't, you know, we can wait till we get home. You know, so I'm just saying that it may be the culture doesn't mean that everyone is into what that culture is. And hold on before you answer. I wanted to read some of these comments. Brandon says there is no statute of limitations on healing. Fair use says just because time goes by, it shouldn't absolve you from your criminal victimizing actions, especially if your ass was living free as a bird. Interesting. And I agree with that. Work for work, not for fucking, fair use said. I agree with that. Brandon says there is no setting where sexual assault is acceptable. And he says, if you're okay with it, it's not sexual assault. I agree with that, Brandon, but I agree that it should not be in the workplace. Don't shit where you eat, fair use says. Not even. Yep, Lou. Sorry. In some cases, I am a total prude, and I am proud of it. And if anybody has something to say about it, I don't care. So anyway, chill. Go on.
Yeah, man. No, it's just how it is. I mean, I feel a culture is a culture. Can't really necessarily. Well, it's just how it is. It just depends on the job, how we go, how we are. Jokes, and a lot of times that's the biggest thing that I can't stand, because if you want a fair shake at things, this is how it is. Like, this is how, like, men may act one way, you know what I'm saying, and you want a fair shake at things, it ain't about a black or white thing, a male or female thing. This is how it is. And so if you can't take a joke or you can't take a certain thing, you coming in, this is our culture. You don't like it, you can leave. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's acceptable. If you don't like it, you can leave. You can do that in jobs. You don't have to necessarily take it to the point to where, oh man, this is such and such against women. No, if men come in here, they get the same treatment. Like, it don't make a difference. And that's sometimes not distinguishable in certain situations when they go. Like,
and that's why if you're at a job, and I don't care if you're working at 7-Eleven or you're working at a big, huge company that has 5,000 people or 50,000 people, whatever. That's why that culture of the booty patting and all this other stuff, just don't start it. You know,
You can't tell them that. That's easy to say, but you can't say, you can't tell somebody what to do.
Okay. So what you're saying, that if you don't like it, then leave. So I don't like you patting me on my butt or saying some sexual thing to me when we're at the water cooler. So, well, Sol, if you don't like it, then quit.
I mean,
that
could be possible depending on the situation. But
so I have to quit and as opposed to just telling you, stop doing that to me.
Of course, you could do that. And I'm saying to you, though, in general, like, there's a certain cultures, like, and I'm not you, you're going with the pat on the butt. There's a lot of different things that different cultures have. I definitely know in construction, you're going to get cussed out, you're going to get yelled at, you're going to get dogged the fuck out. Especially if you late, you do something wrong, they're gonna talk shit. It might be some racist ass people that you work with. People gonna be doing coke. It's gonna be some fucked up shit you're gonna see. You can't change that culture.
I'm not saying, okay, but
just leave it.
Okay, and people will deal with it.
It's different settings.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. If I'm a coach, I'm gonna have to yell at your kid at one point. You don't like me yelling at your kid, then don't have him over here. Cause I can't just not yell at your kids. That's not certain things have exceptions to the rule, and it's not that I don't care about them. Sometimes I need to be able to speak up to your kids, but your parenting practices.
We're getting off topic here, way off topic. I was talking about sexual assault, sexual.
Oh, it is.
It's a slippery slope
in general when it's like that, but. I agree. It's not that I don't agree with you. You should just leave that alone if you're smart. But certain settings is just like, you know, strip club, a bar, it gets sketchy. It's a hard line.
There is a hard line, but again, if I go to a strip club with my friends and I'm sitting there and they're putting their dollar bills and people's, you know, waste or whatever they do, whatever. And then my friend over here, you know, he's getting the lap dance. And then my other girlfriend over here, she is doing this. And if a guy, comes up, you know, to me, I'm like, nope, sorry. No, whatever. Then I expect them to back off and go to somebody else.
Right.
Just because I'm in that environment does not mean that I have to behave the way everyone else is. I can still sit there and enjoy my drink. If they have good food, I'm enjoying my French fries or my chicken wings or whatever. But that doesn't mean that I need you shaking your butt in my face.
Mm-hmm. And then they may do something like pick you up or something like that off the bat. But you got to know that in general, sometimes typically if you're there in a strip club, they don't know that. And so,
okay. And that is why if I say something, I'm like, no, y'all go on, whatever, you know, whatever. Then, you know, at the same thing is like, then just stop. Right.
Tell me how crazy this would be that for you to be like, all right, well, I went to the strip club and they were filling on women's butts. So I felt like that I was emotionally damaged. And so I'm gonna sue y'all for that.
If they're feeling on women's butts and I'm emotional, if they come over, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
What I'm saying is, so are you saying that I'm the person that sued, that I'm the person that sued?
Right. So you feel like, all right, I seen, I don't know, or, you know, sometimes, and that I don't know the DJ and the stripper was arguing, and then she pushed him, and then he pushed her back, and then whatever, something like that. And that's you don't know they really, that's their dynamic. That's how they argue every single day. That's they maybe whatever. Mm-hmm. And so you're like, all right, well, I need to report this, and then I need to go sue them because of whatever. Or you just see, you know, he's smacking his stripper booty, and she okay with it. So you just can't go into somebody's.
Chill, that is not what I'm saying. I am not saying that at all. If you choose to have, okay, like this, I believe that in a workplace, in an office, I do know that if you're on a construction site, whatever, I'm not talking about getting cursed out or whatever, cursing your kid out at Little League or football, whatever. I'm talking about strictly sexual stuff. If I go into a place and I don't want you doing it to me, I'm just saying, leave me the hell alone. If Sally is okay with you patting her or y'all doing something at work or Johnny's okay with his boss doing whatever, I think it's inappropriate at work. But if y'all want to take that outside of work, but I am just saying for me personally, I'm saying if the person says you need to leave me alone, then leave me alone. If you're okay with it, I am not going to go and report you. Well, Chill's over there. You know, he's feeling on something. I'm not going to go because apparently those two got their little thing going. I'm talking about me. Stay away from me.
And that's cool. But I'm saying that it even those, like you said, but you didn't mention if someone else sees that was one of your points. And so you're right. But that, because being a union steward for like 10 plus years, all those things come up. And so I'll give a less, like, not like less invasive, you know what I'm saying? Like, not literally like grabbing ass or like a boss.
Would come over and do
a massage like to certain employees.
I will say one thing, and I have personally seen it. I have witnessed it, and I know that it happens having worked in the legal field for years and years. When people have that type of culture at work, when that one person does sue or something happens, the entire company ends up taking a huge hit, because then people say, well, doesn't this go on? Well, yeah, well, the two of them, well, doesn't this go on? Because it's that culture, and it ends up hurting the company. So I don't care how much the culture at work where people are doing this and doing that, whatever. When it comes to sexual stuff, you're walking a very fine line.
What I'm just talking about, just like, it could be anything though.
But I'm talking about sexual. I'm trying to stay on topic. I'm talking about sexual stuff. I'm not talking about things that could be considered sexual, whatever.
You know. I'm not just talking about. I'm talking about things that could be considered sexual.
You're right. And that is why you walk a very fine line when you accept that culture, when that boss decides to hit you on your butt and someone else sees it, and 4 years later, maybe that person who saw you do it was sexually assaulted by somebody who has absolutely nothing to do with your boss, and they end up suing and they go to court. And then they're saying, well, have you ever seen, well, you know, a couple of years ago, I saw so-and-so do this, you know, whatever, but she seemed fine with it. That, again, you're opening up a can of worms. I'm just saying that you have to be careful. And nowadays, with people having a camera, they're pulling out a camera every, you know, every five seconds, whatever. That is stuff that you have to always be aware of, because while you're okay with it, somebody got you on tape, whatever, and you never know when you're gonna go viral, whatever. You're right.
That's gonna improve your story. That's what you absolutely need. That helps a lot. Things like
right,
that.
Right. But you can also take that another way and say, well, yeah, we can show that at this company, this, you know, they are doing this, whether they enjoyed it or not. That's the culture that's pervasive in this company. Chill. That is all. Pull up like this. All I'm saying is you have to be careful. You have to be careful. And
people know that.
And Brina says, maybe we should be able to punch dudes in the mouth for not taking no for an answer and leave HR out altogether. Mm-hmm. Blunt says, I'm with you, Brina. Fair says, Brina, Bear Mace, look like it worked. We'll save so much time. Bless you. See, Blunt says, I used to work for a manager that would make inappropriate comments about my body. It was so uncomfortable. Yep, it's an expensive culture to foster. Don't forget about those audio tapes. I mean, there's a lot. See, let me go up a little bit. Management needs to take some HR classes over there.
Yeah, for sure. That's the best culture. I want to tell you right now, the best culture is the people who hold those annual trainings or those quarterly trainings, definitely especially ones for like inappropriate behavior that can be considered, and they actually have people engaged, and so people will know, like, this is what can be considered bad and this is what can be considered unacceptable, because some people are literally just oblivious. They're touchy-feely people, and then you meet somebody like Solid that's like, oh hell no, and they're totally misunderstood, but it's at a point to where now we can't de-escalate it because we're at the third step on a union grievance. And as everything's out of point, when we just could have hopefully understood this before, and if you had this training when you came in, it'd have been like, that would have never ever happened.
Okay. All right. I mean, you have a point. And I don't think I read Lou's comment when he says, but America is obsessed with sexualizing everything in front of children now. You know, I mean, let's see. Fair says, yeah, you have to beat people in the head with it. And Brina says, Chill has a point. I worked with a girl that came over from Thailand only a few months prior. She was very touchy and we had to let her know she couldn't do all that. I mean, you know, I mean, there are some touchy feely people. I'm not a touchy feely person. I don't do the touchy feely. I'm just not, you know. It's like, hey, what's up? You know, I mean, you know, you know, some of my good friends, you know, when we see each other, we'll hug, whatever. But I'm not that touchy feely person. You know, I will say out loud, personal space. If you're getting a little bit, I'm like, personal space, you know, so people know, you know, and people have said, you can be a nerd sometimes. Yep. I can. You have a problem with it? I will respect you. You respect me. You know, but people, I don't know. It's. I mean,
no, you're gonna give me a damn hug, sorry.
And if you had COVID, I'm definitely not hugging.
If you had, damn, like if I had COVID 3 years ago, you ain't giving me a hug.
No, sorry. Never had COVID. Not gonna have COVID. Nobody in my family's ever had COVID. And yes, I still go out wearing a mask. And y'all can laugh at me if you want to, but you know what? I don't care.
Regardless of whatever, you can do that all at once. That ain't gonna help.
Yeah. I'll say, Chill. How are you? Hello.
Give me a damn hug. You had COVID in your life. 10 years ago, I had COVID.
Sorry. You can still. Them COVID cooties, they tend to hang around. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So. But y'all, I mean, I don't know. It's just, you know, but I'm just going to end it with saying that when it comes to men and women and sexual assault, that there is definitely a difference. I think that on one hand, men get treated worse. On another hand, I think women get treated worse. The system is supposed to be fair, but it's not. So I had something else I wanted to say.
She say thing, and then also it is. And some people ruin it, like just by lying. And every situation is different, so it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be. That's why we set that system in place to try to figure stuff out. You know what I'm saying? So, and well, it ain't a perfect system at that. So it's not.
The system the system is definitely flawed. But I will say the Michael Jackson case, I'm definitely going to be watching that when it goes to a trial, because I'm still trying to figure out how you're going to sue a company as opposed to the person who is the alleged person who did something wrong.
That could be a statute of limitation itself, though. Like,
you and that person is not there. I mean, I'm just saying that. I guess the thing that just has me surprised more than anything is the fact that the person is not there to defend himself or herself. If someone was accused of killing someone and that person died before the accused died before you went to trial, and there was, you know, everything was a he said, she said, well, you know, so-and-so supposedly saw it. Well, I think I saw. Well, no, I mean, it's like, how do you go forward with someone? How do you go forward with a case when the accused is no longer here? That's the only thing that I'm just like, they're not there. They're not there to say that they didn't do it or they did do it or, well, no, that did happen, but they put it in another context. So I don't know. I don't know. Jeffrey Epstein. And see, with Jeffrey Epstein, well, that's a whole different thing, but I think he was murdered. I don't think he took his life. I think he was murdered. And thank you, Brina. Thank you. Let's see. So, Chill, you have any last words before I clear the panel and play an outro song?
Well, it's always good to be here with you and debating, spiritually debating. Good to see all the rest of y'all faces. Hope your day is well. And that's definitely a serious subject. And I hope that the victim finds some solace in whatever he's finding or he or she is finding or anybody else, because that's some rough stuff to deal with.
And yes, fair use. He did die before trial. Well, thank you, fair use. And Shorty, just so you know, see, all day Saturday, I was watching for your talent show. I didn't see it, so I was ready. So so I'm going to invite Shorty up for a moment and ask her if you want to come up. Are you having a
See, what had happened was, right, Solid. Crazy, she had a event on Saturday, so I slipped my mind. So we're having it this Saturday.
Okay, all right. So, and you have an idea of the time?
Probably like around, probably like in the afternoon. Probably like around 6:00. Probably be
6:00 Eastern time.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, just want to make sure. Okay, I will be on the lookout. All right, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
Oh boy. Okay, y'all. I am going to leave you guys with Reflections by Diana Ross and the Supremes. And Shill and Shorty, thank you for popping up on the panel. I appreciate it. And I will be back tomorrow. I can't remember what the subject is, but it is posted. But I might change it. But anyway. Okay, so here we go. Diana Ross and the Supremes with Reflections.
The mirror of my mind, time after time, I see reflections of you and me, reflections of the way life used to be, reflections of the love you took from me. Oh, I'm all alone now, no love to shield me, trapped in a world that's a distorted reality. These tears that I'm crying reflects the hurt I can't control. Cause although you're gone, I keep holding on to the happy time. Ooh, and you and I, as I peer through the window of lost time, looking over my yesterday and all the lost from the hurt that you have caused. Everywhere I turn, seems like everything I see reflects the love that used to be.
I did put the link for the Michael Jackson article or whatever, if you guys want to copy that. And I will also post it on my YouTube, the YouTube live for the show. So anyway, guys, enjoy the rest of your day or evening wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for coming. You guys are always appreciated. Again, I know it's the middle of the day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.